Hello, and welcome to Make It Clear, a conversational podcast about all things related to water and wastewater. I'm your host, Angela Bounds, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sean Rapp. In each episode, we'll tackle a relevant topic with facts and expert opinions and make things clear. Hello, and thanks for joining us again. So today you get just Sean and I, and we're going to be talking about what we're calling falsehoods. I don't want to necessarily call them half-truths or myths, but it's things that you'll hear about a septic system from a variety of sources that may or may not be true. And what we encourage you to do is do your own research. I can't tell you not to listen to anybody else, but only listen to me. Right?
We try to be authoritative, but you know.
Well, that would go against the whole idea of doing your own research, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
But there are a lot of falsehoods out there. There are a lot of things that you will hear that are just not necessarily true. So that's why Sean and I are here, is to talk about some of those things. If we're honest, the idea was born out of an experience that I had with a relative the other day. And my relative called and said they live out of state. They don't live near us. But they called and they said, hey, I just had a guy out to service my system. And he says that I have to replace my effluent filter. And I thought that was kind of odd.
Rather
odd. Those parts don't break down. They break, right? They can break.
Sure.
But they don't break down. And I was like, that's really weird. Do you have pictures? And because he was told that he needed to replace it because it had gotten clogged. And I said, well, how long has it been since you had it serviced? Like, how long since you hosed it off?
Right.
And he was like, well, they haven't been out here for a few years. And I was like, it's not clogged because it's broken. It's clogged because you haven't serviced it in 3 years.
Right.
So even family members and people we know experience these things.
Mm-hmm.
I had him send me pictures. Like, send me a picture. I want to see, like, is this thing broken? Is it faulty? Does he really need a new one? And he sent me multiple angles. We're kind of accustomed to looking at that kind of stuff. Some people don't have the stomach for it. That's okay. Find someone that does. And I looked at it and I was like, that's not broken.
Right.
That's not broken. I'm like, did he clean it? And he goes, no, he just lifted it out and then put it back in. So I instructed him on how to clean his filter.
Right. I think some of that is born out of ignorance of the product.
Right.
Just because I know there are some folks who may not have ever encountered our filters before. They only know about some filters that are meant to be disposed of as opposed to others that are meant to be maintained.
Right.
And so that, I mean, like, yeah, ignorance
is one
thing.
Think of it like an air filter or another filter that's in
your... Exactly.
Yeah, your home air filters, your car air filters. Yes, replace those. Not necessarily on the same schedule, but that's a whole different topic that I am not an expert in.
Exactly.
So... the moral of the story is check your own stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Do your research.
So, yeah, do your research. So my relative had actually had somebody in there and had replaced it when they were out a few years ago. And this time he was like, it just seemed really weird to me. So I decided to call. And I was like, yeah, that's weird. I'm glad you called. Next time someone tells you to do anything to your system, call me.
Right.
I am just a text away.
Exactly.
Let me know.
Happy to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because something pinged him, right?
Right.
It was, this seems odd that I should have to replace this again after 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was. So always do your research. Know what you're looking at. You know, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to be out there with the service provider necessarily. Just like, hey, what's going on? You know, and if something doesn't look right, ask about it.
Exactly.
Ask about it.
And I think this is something we've touched on in a few other episodes too. Know what you've got.
Know what you have.
Know what equipment you have.
Yep.
Even if you don't feel like looking at it yourself or servicing it, at least have an idea of what it is you've got.
Yeah. So. I know. Sometimes it feels like we're a broken record, or we sound like a broken record, because the more of these we do, the more that themes are weaved through them just naturally. And that is definitely one of the themes.
Yep.
Know what you have, make sure it's secure.
Exactly.
You're going to hear that from us repeatedly. So get used to it. Speaking of knowing what you have, there is a large market for additives. And I know that we've spoken about this before, but if we're going to talk about falsehoods, it's definitely one of the falsehoods in the industry.
Yeah.
And that is the need for additives. Sean, didn't you say that the EPA had even put something out on that recently?
It's actually from the National Small Flows Clearinghouse.
Okay.
So it was their pipeline edition, and they did talk about additives for wastewater. And their conclusion was that at the best, they do nothing, and at the worst, they could possibly or potentially harm your system. So it's just better not to use them in the first place.
Right. So I think we've said it a couple of times just in the last couple of months, but you don't need to put additives in. You don't need to put a head of cabbage. You don't need to add dog food.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to purchase additives. And there are a lot of additives on the market. You don't need them. All you need are the bugs in your belly.
Exactly.
So know what the health of your system should be. So there are a lot of jurisdictions that still regulate that you should pump your tank on an interval that they have determined is necessary, 2 years, 5 years. We actually don't recommend pumping your tank until it needs it. There are ways that you can measure your sludge and scum accumulation, basically the solids in your tank. There are ways for you to measure that. How can I say this? You have to follow the laws of your state. So if the state requires it, however, if someone is telling you that you need to pump your tank, I would ask them what your sludge and scum are measuring at.
That will tell you.
Yeah.
Although the layperson may not know, but I mean, yes, it's very telling what it is.
It is. And we have lots of references, or we have references that'll tell you when to pump.
Mm-hmm.
At what point you should pump your tank and when it's not necessary. Which brings me to this whole flush and forget mentality. So there's this mentality, and we all know it exists, that once you flush something, it just kind of goes away. And as we've talked about before, that is not the case, whether you're on gravity sewer or a septic tank. What that does mean, though, is that your septic tank needs to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
right? So even if you don't have a secondary treatment system on your home, your septic tank has to be serviced. It just does. The relative I mentioned had a septic tank. It's just a septic tank with a filter in it. So they need to be serviced. They mm-hmm. do need to be pumped occasionally. If you have a filter, it needs to be cleaned. You need to watch them, just like anything else in your house.
Yeah. And we've used this analogy before, but it's like a car.
Yeah.
You have to perform maintenance to keep it running correctly.
Yep.
You know, change the oil every so often and change your filters, that kind of thing. Same
flush
thing.
Flush your radiator.
Flush your radiator, all that stuff.
Everything.
Rotate your tires. All that stuff is maintenance just to make sure your system or your car keeps operating the way it's supposed to. And your septic system really is no different. You've got maintenance that needs to be performed every once in a while. And, you know, if you don't know the schedule, you can always ask or have a professional come and look at it and tell you, or that kind of thing.
Right.
And I think you alluded to this earlier, but there are some states that will allow homeowners to perform their own maintenance on a basic system.
Yep.
So if you've just got a septic tank with a filter, you can go out there and look at that filter too, if you want to.
Yep. Hose it off.
Yep.
It's not super hard.
I think sort of along that same line, we sort of discussed this earlier before we started recording today, but talking about the need for systems to have risers and lids. so that they can be accessed from the surface.
Right. So not all states require access from the surface. But
yeah.
I think I've told this story before. I had a friend who had a septic system, and she called me one day and she was like, I know it's backing up, but I don't know where it is. I go, what do you mean?
I know.
She's like, there are no lids out there. And I was like, oh no. Turned out that somebody had built a patio over half of it.
Mm-hmm.
So half of it was under a concrete slab because they had never put lids on it. So what do you do? Well, you dig it up. It becomes a much bigger job just because you don't have lids on it. And then they have to dig down, find it. It becomes cost. I don't want to say cost prohibitive, but it becomes a bigger cost than what you're already looking at to fix it once it's backing into your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My grandmother had a similar experience where their septic tank was buried in their yard, but there was no access lids. Nobody even knew it was there.
Right.
She knew it was there and she knew approximately where it was. But, you know, when somebody finally had to come out and take a look at the tank, because I was not aware she had a septic system. I thought, you know, she didn't live that far out of town. I thought, well, she's on city sewer. Nope. When the guy came out to look at the system, he had to probe around the yard to find the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Finally found it.
And then dig it, right? You got to dig down.
It was a pain.
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier if, you know, a year or two before that, she'd had a riser installed on her tank.
Mm-hmm.
First, consider the tank was probably installed in the 1960s.
Right. When there wasn't such a thing.
Yeah.
We do understand that not everybody has a stomach for it. Sean and I were just talking this morning about things people do not have the stomach for. And we understand that this is one of those, but most people do.
Yeah.
Like once you get in there and see doesn't smell like ice cream.
No.
But there is a lot worse.
And truth be told, if it's a properly maintained system, it really doesn't smell that bad. It smells earthy. Right.
Yes. Yes. But just not like ice cream.
No.
Another falsehood is that all systems are created equal.
Right.
And that includes systems tested to any of the NSF standards.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything's created equal. You can pass the same test, but have a system that performs 5 times better.
Mm-hmm.
Reduces your solids, lasts longer, works better in stress conditions. Just do your research.
Yep.
Do your research. Look into what the tests said. What did the tests show? Most companies have those reports available. They actually have to in an NSF state or a state that uses NSF as the measure for whether a system can be installed or not. Look at the summaries.
Mm-hmm.
See how they performed. See how they really worked. Because they're not all created equal. Oh, what else, Sean? What were we talking about this morning?
Well, one thing, don't just take one person's word for it either. If you have somebody out there, if you've been told you need a septic system and you contact an installer to come out and evaluate your property and have him recommend a system, don't just take his word for it. I would get a couple of different estimates from a couple of different companies.
Yeah.
And then look at their literature. If you see something that sounds too good to be true or looks too good to be true, probably is.
It's just like anything else, right?
Yeah.
If you're buying a car, if you're having work done to your house, right? If you're having a contractor come out to your house, you're not just going to get one bid.
No. And talk to people who have the system. Say, if a contractor says, hey, this is the best system on the market, ask him for a couple of names of people to be willing to share their story and tell you what they think of the system.
Right, right. Find out what other people are putting in and why.
Mm-hmm.
Just educate yourself. I think we have such access to so much information now.
Yeah.
You know, I purchased vehicles and I didn't just research the car I ended up buying, right? You look into a lot of different stuff, like what makes this tick? What why is this one better than that one? Or
yeah,
same thing. All right. I don't think of anything else right now.
No, I think we've covered a lot of things. Yeah. So.
Just know your system. Know what you're getting. Know why you're getting it.
Do your research.
Do your research. And educate yourself so you can advocate for yourself.
Yep, because you don't want to go into this and get blindsided.
Yep.
And end up regretting something that you've purchased just because
right.
your installer said it was the best thing on the market. So.
Or it purchased something unnecessarily. All right. Well, thanks, Sean.
Yeah, you bet.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. We want to thank you again for joining us today. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe where you listen to podcasts so you're notified when new episodes are posted. Also, you can leave your comments or suggestions through the contact link on our website, www.orenco.com. Until next time, have a great day.